You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We have a cutoff time, but the refreshment bar will be open, but there's some people that have to be out of here because of monitors, but nobody else has to. And so if you have some needs or you need to talk about anything or check with some of us, we'll be here for a while. Nobody's in any hurry except those on monitor. So anyhow, thank you again for being here. I hope you have a great time. And Brother Charles, come and sing, and then we'll go from there.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Play it, Miss Jolene. No night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always be at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. God can do. With arms wide open, He will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And it is no secret what God can do.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much.
That's great, Brother Charles. Thanks for that. I'm always so lifted up. And Leland, thanks for explaining why they came and got the Jackson Street group. Because I walked in and they all left. And I thought it was me. But then it could have been Phyllis. I have my wife with me, so I wasn't sure. But anyway, thanks for clarifying that. It is a great honor, folks, for me to be with y'all tonight. And I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. What a privilege it is for me to be here. Just to be with you guys, but especially because Leland Maples means so much to me. Leland Maples, and I mean this, the Lord is my witness, he is truly one of my heroes. in the faith. I admire him, I love him, and I'm thankful for him and his heart. He loves you guys. For him to entrust me with you is humbling to me. And I'm glad to be here, and I don't take it lightly. Thank you for letting me be here. Phyllis and I were leaving. We live in Midland. We were leaving. She wanted to know what I was going to talk about, and I tried to explain it to her best that I could. And she said, "Well, sweetheart," kind of put her hand on my arm. She said, "Whatever you do, said don't try to sound too witty. Don't try to sound too charming. Whatever you do, don't try to seem too intelligent. Just be yourself." And it just dawned on me a second ago, I think she insulted me, but I'm not smart enough to know if she did or not. But anyway, it's good to be here. Folks, tonight, I just simply want to encourage you. And that's my goal. I always have a goal if I ever get a chance to speak. And my goal tonight, I want to encourage you. And hopefully, if the Holy Spirit will take my mess of words that I spit out and apply it to your heart, there may be some lives changed tonight because of that, but it won't be me. It'll be because God has met with us and He's met with you. And I'm praying for that. I have been praying for you, and that's our heart throb tonight. I want to challenge you to become the very best and be the very best that God would have you to be. Not comparing yourself to Leland, to anybody else, but just comparing yourself to the potential and the God-given ability that God has given you and you only. And He has you in a unique way. You are unique. And I hope we can see that tonight. I refer to life kind of like a parachute jump. You know what a parachute jump is, right? It's where you jump out of a perfectly good airplane, but you have a parachute. But the way that I compare it to a parachute jump is that you've got to get it right the first time. Because if you don't, you don't get to roll that sucker back up and climb back in and go over. And folks, we got one shot at this life, and this is it. This is it. It's not a dress rehearsal. We don't get to rewind at any point, at any day, at any time. And so I just want to help us to try and figure out how we can get it right tonight. The Lord said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I've come to give them life and that they may have it more abundantly. Or that they may have this life that I've promised to the fullest measure. That's God's heartthrob for me and for you. The Lord also said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Listen carefully to the words of God. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Tonight, with God's help, we're going to see that we have this unbelievable, unfathomable hope in Jesus Christ. Because we do. I believe, folks, that the Lord wants us to be successful. I believe that with all my heart from these two verses and many, many more. Here's the question. What is it? What is real success? That depends on who you ask, doesn't it? You ask the Hollywood group. You ask anybody in the world, and they'll tell you something that's external, that's physical. It's your bank account. It's the car. It's the house. It's the job. It's the respect. It's something out there. But when you ask God, He never speaks of the physical. It's the inside is what makes a difference. It's what comes from within and goes out. I read this several years ago, and it was kind of one of those aha moments for me. It was kind of a life-changing moment. And I want to challenge you guys to do the same thing that I did after having read this. And I don't even remember right now which book it was that I was reading. But it was in defining what success is. And this author of this book, he made the comment. He said, here's what you know what success is. He said, I want you to attend a funeral service. But this is a very unique service. In your mind's eye, he said, blot out everything and focus on this funeral service. Because it's an important service for you. Because it's yours. It's going to be your service. Here's the casket. And you're going to make your way. You came in and you sit down and you make your way. And as you're coming up, you start having this weird feeling come over you. Could this be me? Is this me? Is this my service? Is today, is it all over? Is my life done? And as you get close and you look, and you're in shock, and you realize, that's me. There are going to be three people that'll speak. There's going to be that coworker that you work with day in and day out, you have for months or weeks or years. And they're going to speak today at your service, and they're going to tell it all, folks. They're going to tell it all. They're going to tell the good and the bad and the ugly. And then the second person that's going to speak is, it's a hobby friend of yours. Maybe it's somebody you go to church with. Maybe it's a domino plan friend or a fishing buddy or whoever it might be. But they know everything about you away from church and away from work. And they're going to tell all of it. And then thirdly, and by far the most important person, is going to be that individual that you love with all of your heart. And they love you. And they're going to tell it all. They're going to tell everything that you have meant to them and what your life has been all about. And they're not going to hold anything back. They're going to tell it. And the author of this book, he said, fold the book up and don't read the book, another word in the book, until you've done what I've told you. He says, write out those three talks. It may take you an hour. It may take you a month or 6 months. But he said, I don't want you to finish this book until you do that. And he said, and when you do that, you will just have nailed success in your life. I've done that. And folks, I want to tell you what's not in it. Nothing physical. Nothing on the outside is in that. Because on that day, none of that will matter. It's going to be your character, your integrity, who you are deep down in your soul that only God knows. So how do we get there? How does that happen? Well, I have a formula for success I want to give you tonight. And it starts, we're going to just do an acronym. That means we're going to spell it out. Now, I'm from New Mexico, so I may need some help spelling. So, what's it start with? Somebody help me. Somebody else help me. Okay, I take your word for it, Leland. I just want to make sure. It's S. Guys, S stands for salvation. Salvation. The meaning and the purpose in all of life is the fact that we come to a point in our life that we know we have been redeemed. That we know everything we ever did is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been redeemed and we've been saved and we have that confidence and we know that if the whole world goes to hell, we know we're going to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved us. We've trusted in Him. We have leaned on Him. We've put our faith and our trust in the fact that He was crucified and that He shed every drop of His blood for me and He covered my sin. And I've trusted that and I know it and I've got it. Folks, if we miss that, if you miss that, it's impossible to have success in this life. You cannot, according to God's plan and purpose for the human race. Years ago, there was a baseball World Series. This is back in the 1930s. Now, I was not there. That's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. They weren't sure about that. They thought maybe I was there. They thought maybe I played in that game. And so I wasn't there, but it is recorded in history. The World Series is a series of seven games. They had played six games. It was tied, three games apiece. It's the bottom of the ninth. That means it's the last inning. The home crowd team is at bat. They're one run behind. They've got, that guy at the plate has got to score or they've lost the World Series. They have no hope to continue. So he has two strikes against him. Things aren't looking good. Three balls. It's a full count. Nobody on base. Things are looking bleak. The last pitch comes flying in. He swings with all of his heart, swinging for the fence. He doesn't go over the fence, but it goes to the fence and it dies in the depth of the darkest crack in the outfield. Couldn't have hand-placed the ball any better for the possibility of having an in-the-park home run. He takes off running with all his might. He rounds first. He hits second. He goes to third, and the third base coach flags him, says, "Go home, man, go home." He's flying for home plate. The pitch comes in. He slides. Obviously, he made it. He's safe. He's safe. He made it. Unbelievable. A miracle happened. The catcher picks the ball up. Throws the ball to first base. The umpire gets up, walks around, looks at the runner, says, "You're out! You're out!" He called a runner out. You got it. He failed to touch first base. Folks, if you miss Jesus Christ, you have missed first base. You've missed it, and you'll be out. You are out now, and you will be out for all eternity. Folks, don't let that happen. Don't miss Jesus. Don't let that happen. Luke 10, 17 and 20. The Lord had empowered His disciples to go out and followers. He had empowered them to do great works, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. Jesus Christ empowered these people to go do that. They come back, and I'm going to make it short, but they come back and they are beyond excited. They are so thrilled, so excited, they're pumped. And here's what they tell the Lord. They come back in verse 17, they say, they return to Him with joy, the Bible says, and they say, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." And you just can feel their joy and feel their excitement and the thrill that they've got in their soul from realizing Jesus Christ has given us this power and it works. The demons are subject to us. And all these other works that they've accomplished. Here's Jesus Christ's reply to them, folks. Listen carefully. He says to them, this is in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." Listen. "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What a powerful example for you and I, folks, of the fact that one of the most significant things that we could think in all, or one of the most significant things in all of the world has nothing to do with what we accomplish. with even especially in what we possess. But the central theme that Jesus Christ is telling these disciples of His, and He's telling you and I tonight, that the purpose of life is knowing we're saved and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He puts a period right there. It's nothing more than that. So, then, the next letter is
you.
Very good. The letter U stands for the person you, for the individual you. This simply means, folks, that you're extremely valuable. You're important. You're wonderful. You are the most valuable thing. In fact, I can tell you, you're the most valuable thing, not just on this earth, in the entire universe, in God's, all of His creation. And you may not feel that way. I don't feel that way a lot of times because I know my brokenness. I know the wrong. And I know the mistakes and all that. And Satan's good at throwing those up to me and my past. And you may be in that category as well. But the reason why I know that, folks, is because I know the price that was paid for you. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You say, Mark, I'm so imperfect. Forget it. You've got a perfect Savior, and He died for you. He split, and the reason He did is because you're valuable. Several years ago, I'm down at San Angelo on a little business trip and had a buddy of mine with me, and we get gas and go in and buy at a convenience store and buy some coffee, and I'm paying for the coffee, and there's a guy in there. He had beautiful hair. Now, don't get to thinking I'm weird here talking about this guy's hair. Yeah, I mean, it was beautiful. If I had hair, I'd have hair like that probably, maybe. I'm not sure. But the reason I say it's beautiful is because it's every color in the world. It was green and orange and yellow and purple, and it was every color. He had jewelry hanging on him all over, and he was a really a handsome guy. He really was. I mean, one unique thing. He had this great big wooden cross hanging around his neck. And I thought that was cool. And so I'm paying for the coffee. I said, hey, man, I love your price tag. He said, my what? I said, your price tag. He said, what price tag? I said, that one hanging around your neck. He said, this? Held that. I said, yeah. He said, that's not a price tag. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not very smart. I'm from New Mexico. I said, what is it? And he said, it's a cross. I said, oh, can I say something? He knew I was going to anyway. He said, sure. I said, that's the highest price that's ever been paid for anything in the universe. And it was paid for the guy that has it hanging around his neck. Don't ever forget that. Never forget that. You can always tell the value of an object by the price it was paid. Folks, it also means, the letter U, that you have also been blessed with amazing potential and gifts and talents. It's not a question of if you have them. Listen to me. It's not a matter of if you have them. You may be thinking, not me, Mark. You're talking to somebody else. I don't have the gifts and talents and potential. Listen, that's a lie from hell. That is a lie. God didn't make any junk. He has created within us. All of His creation was created for accomplishment. And so were you and so were I. And for us to deny that is to deny His wonderful creation in our life, folks. You've been given that. The question is not if. The question is what are you doing with it? But you've been given that. See, God's gift to you and God's gift to me is the potential that He has put within us, folks. Now stay with me. Our gift back to and our gift back to ourselves and our gift back to our families and our children and our grandparents and our anybody in our family is what we are doing with that gift and that talent that He has given us. One of my favorite stories, I love football. I wasn't any good at it, but I tried to play it, but I wasn't too good at it. I had a good time. All my friends were good, and I was their good cheerleader for those guys. But anyway, I love football. Still do. Love to watch it, not play it. I couldn't be standing here if I tried to do that. But one of my favorite stories, anybody heard of Spike Dyke? Leland, don't raise your hand. I know you. We just got a couple old folks in here. No, there's some young guys. I'm impressed. He's one of the most successful coaches ever came through West Texas. And he coached at Big Springs High School at Midland Lee and went up and he was head coach at Texas Tech. People have asked Leland a lot of times, says, Coach, who was the greatest athlete you ever coached? And he said, Mario Hernandez. You ever heard of Mario? No, nobody's heard of Mario Hernandez. I mean, he didn't make it to the NFL. He didn't even make it to college. He barely made it out of high school. He says, that was the greatest athlete I ever coached. He said, Mario's story goes way back when he was in grade school. He's a little bitty guy. He always a running back. He was a little fullback, but little bitty. About 5'2", nothing tall, and 140 nothing pounds. And he makes it to his senior year, played every year, but never got to play. He just got to practice. He never played. He never started in a game in his entire life from like the third grade on. Man, you talk about tenacity. I mean, I'd have quit a long way back before then. But old Mario, he just kept showing up. And he's one of these kids. He's born on the wrong side of the tracks, dirt poor, didn't have a relationship with his dad, didn't even know who his dad was. Stereotype all the way across. Everything was made for Mario to be a failure in life. He's one of those guys, though, in football and school, he'd be feeling good. He'd show up. He'd feel sick. He showed up. He just kept on keeping on, you know. Senior year, halfway through the season, they're undefeated. They barely had won a bunch of games, but they're going to San Angelo to play the number one team in the state of Texas back in the 1960s, playing the San Angelo Bobcats. The week of the game, the number one fullback that was ahead of Mario gets his knee blown out. All's not lost. That was in practice. All's not lost because they have a middle linebacker and they put him and he plays fullback. So they go to San Angelo and San Angelo kicks off. Six plays later, this great big brute middle linebacker fullback crashes into the end zone. Touchdown. Big Springs High School is beating the number one team in the state of Texas. Everybody goes crazy except his fullback. He just blew his knee out. He's out. Time for the offense to go back in a little while later, and Coach Dyke looks at the offensive coordinator and he says, Coach, we don't have fullback. And he says, yeah, we do, Coach Mario. He said, who? He said, Mario Hernandez. Oh, Mario, where is he? He said, he's right next to you. He said, I looked down there and there he was. He looks up at me, he says, he's got big tears in his eyes. He says, Coach, don't say nothing to me. He said, I got this. This is what I've waited on all my life. I will not let you down. Just let me go in. He said, don't have any choice, Mario. You're the guy. And he goes in. And because of Mario's unfathomable attitude and his giving everything he has, they beat the number one team in the state of Texas that day. And Mario had over 170 yards rushing. The season's over. Coach Dyke is talking to all his seniors, and that's all. And he says, guys, if y'all will play the game of life like Mario did the game of football, you can go anywhere, accomplish anything, be anything that you ever wanted to be. Just give it your all like Mario did. When you're sick, show up. When you're not, show up. When things are against you, show up. Just keep being committed. Keep being faithful. Meeting's over, Mario comes up crying again, hugs him. Says, I love you, Coach. You've been my dad. He said, and I just decided sitting back there a minute ago, Coach, I'm going to be a doctor. Coach Dyke, he looked at him. He stopped what he was fixing to say. And he lied. And he says, Mario, if anybody could do it, I know you can. He said, I was lying through my teeth. He said, because I knew it took two things to be a doctor. Brains and money. And Mario didn't have either one of them. season's over, graduation. Years later, Coach Dykes coaching at Midland Lee. 1983, my wife and I and our two girls were at the stadium, Texas Stadium, in Irving. Midland Lee playing for the state championship against San Antonio. Got cheated out of the game, but I'm about over it. Now, well, another 10 years, I'll get over it. And 2 days before Christmas, Christmas morning comes. They televise that game live on ESPN all over the nation. Christmas morning, Coach Dyke, telephone rings. Coach Miss Dykes picks the phone up, and it's Mario. She says, Coach said, one of your old students, players, is on the phone, said of Mario Hernandez. He gets on the piece, oh, Mario. It's been 20 years or so. Mario, how are you? Great, Coach. He said, where are you? He said, I'm in Tucson, Arizona. He said, that's great. He said, Tucson, Arizona, from Big Springs, Texas. He said, you have a family? He said, oh, yes. He said, God's been good to me, Coach. He said, I have a beautiful wife, three beautiful daughters. He said, life's been good to me. He said, that's great. He said, well, what are you doing? He said, man, I had the image in my mind. You know, he'd have been one of the best plumbers or whatever. He said, you know, and he knew he'd be successful. He said, Coach, you sitting down? He said, I am. He said, Coach, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. He says, Mario, I always knew you could do it. He just lied like a dog. Folks, it is not a matter of if you have talent and ability. It's a matter of what you choose to do with it. God's blessed you with it. I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what your past is in your life. I could give a rip of any of that. And you know why I could care less? Because I know your Savior could care less about your past. He's covered your past if you know Him. Don't deny that power that He has allowed to come into your life. But tap into that and be thankful for it. Next is C. It stands for commitment. It goes right along with what we were saying. Most people don't fail in their lack of talent or ability, folks. It's just from a lack of commitment. Be committed. And then the next C stands for change. You agree with me that if you're going to reach your maximum potential, there may be some things you need to change in your life. Yeah. Boy, I could write a book on it. I guarantee you. Here's the thing about change that's funny. It's not hard to change. It's almost impossible to change. Statistics show that 97% of the people, even Christian people, go to their grave in their 70s, 80s, and 90s with the same hang-ups they had when they were teenagers. That just doesn't seem right. But that's life. Here's the thing, folks. You don't change things. You replace things in your life. Let me give you an example. Let's say you come over to Phyllis's and my house, and we've got this room. We've been married over 40 years, and we've got the same furniture that we had. In fact, it was hand-me-down when we got it, when we were married. And we've kept it. And it stinks, and it's ugly, and it's broke down, and we hate this junk. It's junk furniture, and we don't like it. And I start complaining. And you say, Mark, I got my truck and trailer right out here. Why don't we haul it off? Would you do that for me? Yeah, sure. Let's load it up. Let's haul it off. Then we start hauling my junk off. I'm sick of this junk. We haul that junk off, load after load, right to the dump ground. Unload it. Come back. Phyllis and I high five. We just got rid of all of our junk that we've hated for years and years. And it's gone now. That is so good. We're so excited about it. And it's time to eat. Where are we going to eat? In the floor? All right. Well, so we do that. On that night, we eat on the floor. But then I want to go watch my favorite football game. Where am I going to sit? In the floor. It finally gets over with. It's time to go to bed. I'm going to sleep in the floor because I got rid of all my junk, right? Here's what's going to happen, folks. One of two things, and that's it. Phyllis and I are going to load up as soon as we can, and we're going to go down to a furniture store somewhere in Midland or Odessa or somewhere, and we're going to find some stuff that was better and more beautiful and prettier and smelled better and had all of this great stuff that we love, and we're going to bring that great stuff home, and we're going to put that stuff in our house to replace our junk. Or guess where we're going? Right back to the junkyard and get our junk and bring it back home. And folks, so it is in our lives. Jesus Christ wants to be the replacement of all of our junk in our life. Let Him do it. Let Him do that. E stands for enthusiasm. And I'm going to have to cut this short. But maybe now Leland will let me come back and I'll finish the rest of it some other time. It stands for enthusiasm, folks. It speaks to us of our attitude. Folks, I want to tell you, you cannot undermine having an enthusiastic, positive outlook on life. Paul said, that's why he urges us in Philippians 4:8 to meditate on these things. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Do that. Think on these things. And it'll change your life. And then, quickly, folks, I want to tell this last little story. The view, the S stands, the last letter is S, stands for C. It's vision. The importance of having vision. How you see what you're doing makes all the difference in the world. There's an elderly gentleman walking down the street one day, and he comes to a construction site, and he's at this construction site. He goes up to this young man that's working, sweating. He's working, he's laying brick, one brick right after another. He asks him what he's doing. He looks at him and he scowls. He says, "Isn't it obvious? It's not rocket science. I'm laying brick, sir." He said, "Well, it looks like you're doing a good job. Keep it up." And he goes down to another guy that's down here a couple hundred yards or so, and he asks him the same question. It looks like he's kind of doing the same thing. And he says, "Sir, I don't mean to be disrespectful to you. It can't be too hard for you to see what I'm doing. I'm laying brick." He said, "Why are you laying brick?" He said, "I'm just trying to make a living. I'm trying to keep the wolf away. I'm trying to pay the bills. I'm just trying to survive, and this is all I know to do." He goes down quite a ways later, and he hears somebody singing, and they're humming, and they're whistling. And man, something's going on with this guy. I mean, he is on something, or something's not right. I mean, this guy has this unbelievable, seemingly like this attitude, and he comes up and he gets him to stop, and he asks him, he says, "Sir, could you tell me what you're doing?" He said, "Sir, I would love to tell you what I'm doing, but isn't it obvious to you what I'm doing?" He says, "Tell me." He says, "Sir, I'm building a castle." Three guys doing the exact same job. Exact same job. Two of them had no vision. And life was hard. It was difficult. They're just trying to get to the weekend. Just trying to survive. Trying to get by. Folks, listen to me and I'm done. Every day of your life, when you do those little bitty things in life that might not be fun, you're laying brick. When you read that verse in the Bible, that chapter in the Bible, when you apply yourself, when you do what's noble and good and right, guys, you are not laying brick. You're creating the foundation for the rest of your life. Let God use you. Let God use your potentials. Trust Him. That's all He wants. Folks, that's all He wants from you, is your trust and your faith. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come.
Is Charles and them coming? Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want to ask you a question. Are you laying brick? Are you building something? Everybody in here is fully aware of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You've heard the gospel. You know that Christ died on the cross. You know that you've turned your back on Him. You've not done what you need to do. You've also told yourself over and over and over, one day I'm going to change. One day I'm going to start doing it different. Won't you let this be the day? You won't have a better opportunity, a better time to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. I put my faith and trust in you to make me a winner. I trust you tonight to do that. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody looking around, would you this moment say, Lord Jesus, save me? We're going to pray, then we're going to stand. Brother Charles is going to begin to sing. And on that very first verse, would you step out and say, tonight, I trust Christ. I put my faith in a winner. I want you to do that. Our Father, you know the hearts. You know each of us. You know our failures. But all we know that you'll pay for them. You died for us. And so, Father, tonight, may not one person leave here without you. God, help us to do that. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes still closed? Brother Charles, begin to sing. Would you come right now and say, I trust Jesus? Come on the very first verse.
Just
come on. Come right on. Come on.
Without one plea.
Right now. Come on.
That your blood was shed for me.
Just as I am. Come right on. Yes. Come and pray.
You
whatever God have you to do. Come on.
Come to the
playing, girl.
Just as I am and waiting now to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each blood.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Mark. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus and what you've done for us. Father, we pray that even before this night's over, for those that have not done what they need to do, that before they leave here, they'd seek out one of your children and make that decision for you. We pray for that, Father. Thank you for your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshment bar is open. Thank you for being here.
Jesus, my Lord. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.